Welcome, one and all, to Tracy's baptism. This, in any Christian calendar, is the highlight of any time, isn't it? Somebody actually being baptized and giving their life to Jesus. But have you ever heard of the tradition, out with the old, in with the new? It's a tradition going back to the New Year's time when the eldest son or the darkest haired person in the family would take out a bucket of dust or some rubbish out the back door and throw it away. And on his entrance, he would pick up a tray before he went through the front door. And on that tray would be a block of coal, it would be a piece of bread, some money, some salt or greenery. And each one of them symbolised something of the coming new year. The coal was for warmth, the bread was for food, the money was for wealth and prosperity, and the greenery and the salt was for long life. And the thing is, I always have to do it each year. Now, I'm guessing because of charm and rugged good looks, our household was hoping for a bit more. As I walked through the front door with this tray, then our party and celebration would start. The problem is that next year that we hoped would be better wasn't even better or worse than the year previous anyway. So the next year we would go through the ritual all over again, hoping that this next year will be better than the last. You know, in the book of Jeremiah, written over 3,000 years ago, there was a time there where people were very selfish. It was all about me, my needs, my wants. Leaders back there and the politicians were out for what they could get. They ignored the will of the people. Destruction and war was all around them at Jeremiah's time. People were in a captivity. Society and politics and the community were heading for deterioration and destruction. There seemed to be no hope and no future. Sound familiar? Brexit. Apparently we're all going to be skinned by 2021. America. Political turmoil. The troubles in Syria and the Far East. And we all sit here in fear of terrorism. See, Jeremiah back then urged his people to turn away from that, to turn away from their sins and turn to the faith of God. Those people who refused to do this at that time was going to face judgment. But, like Baldrick, God had a plan. Because in Jeremiah 29:11, I have it actually embossed or printed on my Bible, it says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." And you know that plan? We're going to celebrate it in 4 weeks' time. Because when God said that plan was going to be fulfilled, he was talking about his son, Jesus Christ. See, God came to earth to show us his true characteristics of love, forgiveness, righteousness through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus was destined to die on a cross, to die for the world's sin. But thankfully, he didn't stop there. Because when Jesus was buried, he conquered death. And then 3 days later, he was resurrected to the right hand of his Father. And those who have faith in what Jesus came to do and has done for us no longer face judgment. We have a hidden life in Christ for those who have faith in what Christ is and what he came to do. For those people, there is a hope and there is a future. Jeremiah urged his people to repent and have faith in God. And John the Baptist did exactly the same. He says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, baptism is a public declaration that you have faith in Christ. And this is what Tracy is going to do today. See, when we get baptized, we die. We are buried and we are resurrected. The old self dies. The sinful nature is buried with it when we're submerged in that water. And what emerges from that water is a resurrected new self. Out with the old, in with the new. A new life hidden in Christ. But, you know, that plan is not yet finished. Yes, there is still sin in the world. Yes, even followers of Jesus Christ still get it wrong. We still sin. But we're no longer a slave to it. We are no longer bonded to it. We are no longer captive to it. But those who are baptized in his name are set free from it. We are set free from it to live for him. In him. You see, when Christ returns on that day of judgment, those people baptized in his name are no longer seen as sinners. We are no longer seen as sinners, but we're seen as Christ. Pure, without guilt, righteous and cleansed. Those who have faith in Jesus Christ have a hope and a future. No longer face judgment, but we are welcomed in into a new life with him in heaven. And unlike the New Year ritual, when we're repeating that ritual of hope, next year's hope, that next year's future, baptism is a once-only requirement that secures that future. Where that tray full of hopeful stuff is no longer required, because all you need is to have found in Jesus Christ himself. And today, when Tracy gets baptized, she will be hidden in Christ, no longer seen as a sinner, but pure, cleansed. And if you're sitting here and you're thinking, you know what? I could do that. We open an invitation to you this morning that if you want to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, we will do that for you this afternoon. Because this is a one-off obligation that you can take to have a hope and a future. Amen.
And if you do, we'll share our towel with you. Okay, so and we'll send out to somewhere for some clothes. Thanks very much, Mark. That was superb. And it is an open invitation, and it is open to everybody. For God so loved one or two people. For God so loved the world. Every single person that has ever breathed, that breathes, and will ever breathe. Isn't it exciting? But there's something more exciting. Tracy's going to come and share her story now. So Tracy, do you want to come up here? And let's give Tracy a round of applause.
Okay. Right, I forgot my reading glasses, so you'll have to bear with me. No, I should be all right. Right, I'm really nervous. Right, my childhood was far from a happy one, and my teens were no better. As I've grown, I've tried to overcome it with therapy and tablets, and neither have really worked. Because of events in my growing up, I've always been angry with God. I could never understand how someone so mighty and powerful could allow such evil to be done in the most vulnerable. Why let things like that happen? It's so cruel. The seeds were planted in my mind as a child because I was taken to church by my mum. but sadly for her own selfish reasons. But I began to learn about God. I listened to sermons, I was involved in other church activities, and was confirmed at 13, so I attended confirmation classes. 10 years ago, on Tuesday, I met and I married Steve. I knew from the start he came from a Christian background. We agreed from the beginning he had his faith and he wouldn't cram it down my throat. I knew he found it incredibly hard keeping what he loved most quiet and not feeling he could share his God with me. This made for some very interesting, friction-filled discussions. For 10 years he tried, he never gave up, and he was very, very persistent. Then one day our neighbour suggested a church for him to attend, and he has been with you ever since. We moved house, and a few of you were very kindly gave up your time to help with removals. This is when I also met and was heavily questioned by one of you. What church do you go to? Well, why don't you go to church? You really should give him a go. He's good. Can I pray for you? And finally, why don't you come along and see for yourself what our church is like? So a few weeks later, I did. And since then, I attended every now and then, and I've made some amazing friends through this. I've listened to sermons, and I would often think Steve had said something because I swear you were talking about me. I remember one Sunday, Tabo had been up. I broke down in tears and an absolute blubbering wreck. There was something in what he was saying that hit me hard. Then I started to ask Steve the odd questions about God. His eyes would light up. I needed to know that there was more to this powerful being than cruelty and selfishness. I guess you could say my journey with God was well underway when a few of us went to River Camp this summer. But it was there that my whole world was turned around. I tried so hard to resist. The temptation was there, but I was still angry. The meetings were scary at first, and you can ask Sarah Smith because she saw the look on my face. Then Mark Marks happened. He was speaking about his healing on the streets. It was interesting to listen to, but I still wasn't convinced. After the meeting, the lovely Jack wouldn't take no for an answer and asked Mark to come over and see me. He did, he prayed, and he healed. Within hours, the swelling in my legs and feet started to reduce. He even managed to get me up to walk just a few steps. So, okay, how did that just happen? Was God really involved in it? He somehow knew I wasn't a follower of Christ, but still asked if I would open the door and allow Jesus into my life. I wasn't, and he was okay with that because he said by the end of River Camp I would be. I also made a friend called Tony. It was a fella from Belfast who just kept popping up, literally. I'd walk around a corner and he'd be stood there. I'd come out of the loo and he'd be stood there. He wore a beard and I started to think he was Jesus in jeans and walking boots. Tony would pray as often as he could, like on every corner. He too was convinced it wouldn't be long. To both of them, I just smiled and nodded and I said thank you. But how did either of them know I was about to make the biggest life-changing decision ever? I started to become more interested in the meetings, didn't miss any, and really listened to the messages, and the words from the songs were amazing. I was surrounded by people who were calm and happy, who wanted to pray for me. Even children would come up and lay their hands on me. None of them offered to carry me up the hill to the loos, though. I began to question myself and my life. Did I really want to continue on a path of self-destruction, sadness, guilt, anger, and tears? Or did I want peace, calmness, and the happiness that deep down I knew God was waiting to give me? I'd made my decision. I wanted a life with the Lord. I wanted that everlasting happiness, and God was right there. But I needed to come home. I needed to be away from the hype and the excitement. Just as we were leaving, Sam stopped me. He said, "Trace, can I ask you a question? Something I should have asked by now, but I don't know why. I must have been nervous." He asked, "Are you ready to accept the Lord into your life?" I said no, and I lied. Sorry, Sam. For 3 horrible nights, I never slept. My head was in overdrive. My legs hurt just as Mark's said they would. 4 words from a song on repeat in my ears, "The Great I Am." It was constant, day and night, and it was driving me insane. I knew it was God speaking to me of his greatness, letting me know he's not all the badness I thought he was. That was it, the moment I knew I had to act upon his message and become a Christian. I text Steve in work, I asked him a few questions, and then we spoke on the phone. I asked him to say nothing but to listen. I then said my prayer of salvation. An overwhelming feeling of peace and harmony came over me, like everything Croton had been lifted away. Since then, I've struggled so much. What does a Christian do? What do I have to do? How do I do it? To the point I almost gave up and went back to my old life and my safety net. I've prayed and I've chatted with God, and I know it was him who placed the peace and contentment back in my heart. So here I am, ready to leave the negative behind and begin a new adventure, a journey I am excited to share with you all.
Okay with that. What Dave Smith has asked, that was fantastic, wasn't it? How good was that? That was mega. So we're going to ask one or two people to come up now and pray with Tracy. And I know Dave's asked one or two people to seek a prophetic word as well. We believe that God is alive, that God speaks today, and that he's got things he wants to say to Tracy and will do throughout the whole of Tracy's life. But right now, could those people come up? And if one or two people can come and share with Dave, if Dave and Steve want to come out as well, and that would be really good. And stand with this wonderful person, that would be great. That's it. Yeah, dear me. Right. Okay. I'll kick us off. Yeah. Almighty God, we thank you for Tracy. Thank you for what she has shared, the beginning of her journey with you. And, you know, it has been a journey already over many years, we believe. And we thank you for the friends and the people. We thank you for Pete standing outside the toilets. Tony, that was somebody else. You didn't know about Pete, did you? Tony and Pete. Oh, no. Thank you for Tony. We thank you for... Thank you for these anonymous people, Lord, who so many people just praying for salvation for this wonderful person. And we know there's a great cloud of witnesses, and we just pray, Lord, that for Tracy, this would be the beginning of amazing things in you. We ask for your protection on her and for your love for her, Lord God, to just overwhelm her now in Jesus' name.
As I've been praying for you for a while now, there's just an overwhelming amount of stuff that God is just desperate to give you. And it's nothing to do with anger or negative or hard times. It's abundance of good. And it is on your household. So it's not just you. It's over everything. And this morning when I was praying, and seeking God's way, because so often we can get involved in what we want to give you and how we feel about you and what we want to do. And it's not about us, it's about him. So God really spoke to me very clearly this morning from Proverbs 3, and it says, "Dear friend, guard clear thinking and common sense with your life. Don't for a minute lose sight of them. They will keep your soul alive and well." This is for you specifically. "They'll keep you fit and attractive." You will be the beneficiary of that. "You will travel safely." That not just means in the car or as you walk, and it means your journey from now on will be safe. "You'll neither tire nor trip. You'll take afternoon naps without worry." And I know sleep has been an issue. "You'll enjoy a good night's sleep. No need to panic over alarms or surprises." You're not going to be in that state anymore. "Or predictions of doomsday just around the corner, because God will be right there beside you. He will keep you safe and sound." And it is literally a direct relationship. You don't go through anybody else. He's there for you. He saw you from the start. He knew when your time was. He knew how it was going to be. And it was going to be perfect. And your testimony is so powerful. It's so powerful. You are such a blessing, and we love you dearly. Okay? So that's there for you. All good stuff.
Well, she said pretty much what I was going to say. I think God is trying to tell you something. The verse I had for you firstly is Hebrews. "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever for us." And the first thing I had a picture of a boat and an anchor, pretty much like that. And I just felt that the boat was you, and Jesus is your anchor, and he's going to keep you firm and safe. I didn't know much about your past, but I just felt that you felt battered, bruised, adrift, and unsafe. But Jesus is bringing you into a safe harbour, a place of safety. And he will be the anchor that holds you steady and safe, whatever is happening around you. You will be just as safe in a storm as you will be in calm waters, because Jesus is holding you. It doesn't matter what will be going on around you, you will still be safe. And that's what you said. There will be times in your life when the anchor will allow you to move. You'll not just stay in the same place, anchored to one spot, but you will move forward in him into new adventures, which again. But there will also be times when the anchor will hold you firmly in one place, because Jesus wants to heal areas in your heart and mind and bring freedom. Bring out the real Tracy he created you to be before life and people took their toll on you. Right, the second bit. I also had a picture of a plant which had some brown stalks which looked completely dead. But as I watched, buds formed on these stalks, and I believe this is what God wants to do for you. There are areas of your heart and mind where you shut down because of past hurts, but he is going to bring healing and cause those areas to bud into new life, to be what they should be. These times of healing may bring tears, but it will be a safe place. He will hold you firmly and drench you in his love. Lastly, God wants you to know that he delights in you. He doesn't just, "Oh, Tracy's nice, isn't she?" No, he delights in you. He's up there now clapping and, you know, dancing and, "Whoa, Tracy." And the verse is, "He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me." I'll give you this later.
Thank you.
Okay, is there anyone else who wants to pray with Tracy first? I'll just give you the chance now.
through you, okay?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Shh. Just listen. Okay. In the movie Matrix, the main character, Leo, is given the choice to take the red pill or the blue pill. The red pill would give him the truth and drastically change his life. The blue pill, that would keep his life the same, as in no change, but he would still have that urge for something better than the life as he knows it. Being baptized and accepting Christ as our resurrected Savior, then you are choosing the red pill. This is a new life that you have to actively choose every day. No one, not even God, can force you to do it. You may feel pressure sometimes for various reasons, but it's still your choice. Put your faith and your trust in God to pull you through when everyone else seems to let you down, including me. God, all right. God loves you. God's love for you will never change. It's us that decides to have our peaks and troughs. Back to the red pill. The red pill represents the blood of Christ with which you were bought for the kingdom of heaven. Imagine buying stuff with blood today. Get some funny looks, wouldn't you? There you go. this red pill is the truth. Whereas your eyes were covered, now you will set out on a journey to fully open your eyes and, more importantly, the eyes of your heart. That means all the grace and the glory that the world had hidden from you will be revealed to you day by day and hour by hour. Throughout the movie, Leo learns how to fight, how to defend, how to do lots of things he was distracted from doing whilst in the world's control. Jesus wants you to have freedom. Leo spent a lot of time before on his own, but the red pill gave him a family environment. I think we can closely relate to that one, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The end of the movie concludes with Leo learning by action that he does not have to dodge bullets when he keeps his eyes on the truth. Jesus is the truth and the way and the life, and no one gets to the Father except through him. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There we go. Tracy, let me encourage you to actively choose love over hate, and peace over turmoil, and forgiveness over grudges. I love you, and I thank God for all he has done in our lives.